The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. The need for independent media is more critical than ever as people search for the truth. For the past 20 years, the Power Hour has focused on subjects which inform and educate about the real challenges we face as a nation. Join us as we discuss the Constitution, current events, and natural health solutions with the best experts on radio. Learn from some of the most insightful commentators you'll find in talk radio.
We're here live on the Power Hour. My name is Sam, and I'm really, really looking forward to a conversation with someone I've never met before. But I've perviewed your website and extraordinary information on this website, which is called.
Well, I'll tell you, I have to tell you, excuse me, but right now you're seeing it at its worst.
Really?
We've been hacked. We used to have a whole thing across the top, like a sub banner that basically. We had free prayers for warfare, deliverance, all kinds of stuff, free teachings, free booklets, and all that stuff was taken down, supposedly because of an HTML glitch. And, we still have our products on it, and you can get the gist of what our mission is. But all the free materials, right now we're struggling to get a new website up and running that'll be able to be free of that, because we've pretty much been told that because we're promoting conspiracy theories, this is why this has happened. So you got to watch out for those conspiracy theories.
Oh yeah, yeah, really, yeah, like that. That's a lawful term, conspiracy to rob someone. Yeah, it's a lawful term unless you're talking about the conspiracy of satanic proportions, right? So yeah. let me explain who I'm talking to. Dr. William Schnobelin. And he told me to just call him Bill, so I will. And the website that he just referred to is withoneaccord.org, withoneaccord.org, withoneaccord.org. Now, he has been a Mason. He has been an author, a minister, a speaker, internationally recognized, also a naturopathic doctor. And we're going to be talking about the demonic assaults that are coming, not just everywhere, but specifically through this so-called holiday that will be here in a few days, Halloween. What I'd like to do, though, for people who have not heard you before, Bill, you were 10 years old, right? I read this thing that you had on your website about Halloween, and you talked about when you were 10 years old, and you know, and something happened when you looked at the sky. And something you felt came in you. What? Just tell us about that and your journey to where you are right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I started out at a young age as a devout little Catholic boy in small town America. I was raised in the middle of Iowa. And, you know, back in those days, and mind you, I'm 75 years old, so this was back in the late 50s, you know, you never heard anything bad about Halloween. It was just something fun.
Right.
And anyway, I was out with my friend trick-or-treating on Halloween night, beautiful October night, and I happened to look up at the sky, and instead of the stars that I'd seen a few minutes earlier, it was dark, and it looked like it was like the whole canopy of heaven was full of these dark, leathery things that looked sort of like giant bats. And of course, I was stunned. I was frightened. My little friend had kept walking because he didn't look up. And as I was just sort of transfixed by this, whatever you want to call it, vision, all of a sudden, all these things, their eyes started opening. You could see these little ruby red eyes glaring down at me from the darkness. Dozens of pairs of eyes.
Wow.
And you know, I just felt like something cold and dark enter into my soul. And then my friend said, hey, you know, Bill, what's going on? Because he saw me kind of gaping up at the sky. And I looked back down at him and I looked up and it was all gone. But from that time on, it's like I was starting to be drawn into things. And a couple years later, I was going to a Catholic school, parochial school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the nuns, because she knew I was smart. I mean, I was, you know, I'm, you know, pretty smart, even as a child. And so she gave me this book because she knew I liked mysteries. And it was called Strangest of All by Frank Edwards. And it was what's called in the subgenre of Fortean literature.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that term, but it's basically based on Charles Fort, who started in the early, I think late 19th, early 20th century, gathering these stories of unexplained phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And then as Frank Edwards kind of built on that. And this was full of stories about weird things happening in cemeteries, about haunted houses, about flying saucers, Bigfoot, you know, all of this stuff that nowadays is pretty well known and, you know, generally just regarded as sort of part of pop culture. But
yes,
it fascinated me. And I started really getting interested in parapsychology because that was a big component of this. And which is, of course, a scientific term that's used, was started being used by Duke University back in the 60s to legitimize the study of psychic phenomena.
Yes.
And so then when I was in college, I wanted to be a priest. That had been my lifelong dream. And I was in this theology class with this priest who was also a professor, had a PhD from the Vatican in theology. And he took me aside and he said to me, you know, in the Catholic Church, we're taught that the priest can be another Christ, you know, sacerdotus altus Christus est. And he said to me, you want to be a priest, right? I said, yes. He said, well, you want to be like another Christ? And I said, yes. I was 18, you know, what did I know?
Wow.
And so he says, well, if you want to be like Christ, you need to do what Christ did. And I said, okay, because Ryan, this is a priest. And back in that time, if a priest told you something, it was like God speaking to you.
Yes, yes.
And he said, well, Jesus went to the Far East and studied with the gurus in India. He studied with the lamas in Tibet and learned all these occult secrets. And then he studied in Egypt with the magical sages of Egypt. And that's how when he finally came back at the age of 30 to the Holy Land, he had all these powers. They were occult powers. So he told me I should start studying the occult.
Oh,
and of
wow.
course, being a dutiful little spiritual overachiever,
yeah,
I started trying to find all the books I could find on the occult.
Amazing.
And, you know, this is decades before the internet. I'm in this,
yes,
you know, this small city. But I found some books like Diary of a Witch by Sybil Leek and some books by Dr. Ryan, who was the head of the parapsychology department at Duke University, and some others. And I ended up, you know, ultimately I wrote to the King of the Witches in London, called himself that anyway, Alex Sanders, and I asked him if I could be made a witch. And so he sent me the address of a coven in nearby Rockford, and I went there and I was made a witch. That was 1968. And later on, I don't want to get it too lengthy, but I was made a high priest out in Boston in the Alexandrian Rite of Witch, because there's different, there's more now than there were back in the 70s, but there's different denominations, if you will, of Wicca, which is white witchcraft.
Yes.
Just like there are different kinds of, you know, Protestantism. So anyway, I was made a high priest. I went up to Milwaukee, and I and my high priestess started making covens of witches. And I initiated personally 125 women.
Oh my goodness.
Witchcraft in the 1970s.
My goodness.
So I'm going along, and there are two things that need to be told. One is, part of my training was I went down to Arkansas and studied with the Grand Master Druid of all of North America. And one of the many things he taught me was that if I really ever got into trouble, I needed to join the Mormon Church, because the Mormon Church had been started by witches for witches.
Wow.
As a place that you could hang out and appear to be a nice, normal, white, red American, you know,
Catholic.
Mormon Roswell, and yet still believe everything that witches
wow.
believe.
Well,
so I filed that away. And then the other thing he told me, because it happens to be that this guy, super high level druid, was also a 33rd degree Mason. And he told me that if I wanted to understand more of the Luciferian mysteries, I needed to join the Masonic Lodge. So here I am in Milwaukee doing this witch thing, and at the earliest opportunity, one of the guys that my wife initiated happened to be the son of an officer in a Masonic Lodge. So I signed up to become a Mason. I went through Entered Apprentice, Fellowcraft, Master Mason, went on to go through York Rite, Scottish Rite, the Shrine, all that stuff.
Wow.
You know, so I got pretty deep into it.
Yeah.
And then this friend of mine, I thought he was a friend, who owned the occult bookstore there in downtown Milwaukee, he told me that I should read the Satanic Bible. Now, this is weird, because witches will tell you, Wiccans, that they don't even believe in the devil. And he said, well, there's still a lot of good magical ideas in there. So I read it. And, you know, this is the way the devil works. He introduces you to something that's relatively tame.
Yes.
That's why the first book I wrote was called Wicca, Satan's Little White Lie. Because Wicca appears to be very benevolent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all airy-fairy stuff, you know, dancing in the woods, gathering herbs, worshiping the great mother goddess, you know, all that
right,
stuff.
Right.
But behind it all is Satan.
Yes.
And as I read this book and started, you know, communicating with the Church of Satan, I figured out, okay, this is the real deal. This is what the witches don't understand. And so I signed up for the Church of Satan, became a second degree member of the Church of Satan. We have the papers to prove all this. And so from there, I got involved in hardcore Satanism. And ultimately, things got so terrible that I ended up joining the Mormon Church, because I was like circling the drain spiritually. Everything was just falling apart around me. So I joined the Mormon Church, became a devout Mormon, gave up all the drugs and everything that I was doing, because Mormons frown on that. And I became an elder and an elder's quorum president. I went to the Mormon temple, went through all of their endowments, because that's all secret stuff, you understand.
Okay.
The Mormon temple is only open to a select few Mormons. You know, just the last I heard, it was like 10% of the people you see that are Mormon actually ever make it to the temple. And
okay.
That's a whole conversation. But anyway, so during that time, I actually skipped something very important. I had sent a check back in 1980 to the Church of Satan for my annual dues. When I got the check back from the bank, this woman, who I'm assuming was a bank officer, had written on the check, "I'll be praying for you in the name of Jesus." Because, you know, she figured out, okay, if he's giving money to the Church of Satan, he's in deep spiritual trouble.
Right.
So I just laughed and threw it in my file and forgot about it. But literally within a few days, I lost everything. My whole life fell apart. And that's when the Mormons showed up at the door. And so I figured, okay, this is what this druid guy told me, so I'm going to join the Mormon Church. And I kind of joke about it. I tell people the Mormons are not Christians, even though they claim to be.
Right.
But for me, it was kind of like a spiritual decompression chamber. Like, you know, they have these deep sea fish that if you bring them up to the surface too fast, they explode.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I was deep into the darkness. And so the Mormon Church kind of got me, if you will, training wheels, you know, to not be doing drugs, not to be doing orgies, you know, all this stuff. And yet, because I was told the leadership of the Mormon Church were witches, I was still practicing white witchcraft. Well, in the course of this, for the first time, even though I had a master's degree in theology from a Catholic seminary, I never read the Bible.
Oh,
And
my
you
God.
do that in the Catholic Church, you know.
Wow.
I had to read Aquinas. I had to read Sartre. I had to read, you know, Aristotle and Plato, but I never had to read the Bible. So for the first time in my life, and the Mormons used the King James Bible, or at least they used to. And I was reading the Bible. I read the whole Bible through cover to cover, and I realized that I was in the wrong place.
Let me backtrack one
Sure.
second, Bill. Let me backtrack one
Yeah.
second because you said you got high up in the Masons, right? Now,
Yes.
don't the Masons, I mean, they're run by Lucifer, but don't
Mm-hmm.
they tell people when they get up real high that if you say anything, you're gonna die? I mean, isn't there that understood covenant between
Oh,
the
it's not even
high level?
high up in the
Oh, it's
first
not.
degree. You take an oath that if you ever reveal any of the secrets of Masonry, and I'll make this brief because the oath takes about 3 or 4 minutes to say. But the gist of it is you swear on the Holy Bible, if you ever reveal any of the secrets of Masonry, you will have your throat cut, your tongue torn out by the roots, and you'll be buried in the sands of the sea where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours. Should I ever knowingly violate this, my Masonic obligation, so help me God and keep me steadfast in the due performance of the saint.
Oh, so that was on
That's
a
the
Bible
rule.
that you hadn't read yet.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. Now let's go to.
Blindfolded too.
Oh.
I had my right hand on top of this huge, it was not what you'd call a pulpit Bible, you know, like some churches have this ginormous Bible in the front. And I had one above hand and my left hand underneath the Bible. And I was swearing this oath. And every Masonic degree, because there's, you know, there's 33 degrees in
Yes.
Scottish Rite Masonry, you swear these blood-curdling oaths about all kinds of horrible ways they get to kill you if you violate the oath. And some of them I don't even want to say on radio because
Yeah,
it's not
don't.
against
Yeah,
belief.
yeah. Well, I
But
would imagine that
terrible.
the oaths for the church of, you said the Church of Satan, or is that what you said?
Yeah.
The, now, did
Yeah.
you have to swear an oath for that?
No,
No.
not in the least.
Okay. Okay, that's just
I mean, I know that
you
sounds.
consent.
Now, let me say this. When I got up into the higher levels of what I call hardcore Satanism, like the
Yeah.
Order of the Black Ram and the Brotherhood, and these are like underground satanic organizations that are not like 501c3 churches like the Church of Satan is or the Temple of Satan is.
Okay.
And in there, yeah, you swear an oath, and I actually had to sell my soul to the devil and write my name in the black book in my own blood. So
Well,
that's
now.
serious stuff. Let me tell
Wow.
you
Oh,
something interesting,
whoo.
though.
Yes, please
Because
do.
when I was made a witch, I had to take an oath. And when I was made a priest in witchcraft, the oath I took was infinitely more mild and innocent than the oath I took when I became a Mason.
Incredible.
So
Incredible.
that shows you how serious, and of course, Masons will say, oh, well, it's all symbolic. This never really happened. Yeah, we'll tell that to Captain William Morgan.
Yeah.
Because Captain William Morgan was in the early 19th century. He was a captain in the Revolutionary Army, a war hero. And like a lot of people back then, see, Masonry came across the pond with the British. You know, Washington was a Freemason. Many, many of the military, because in Britain, Masonry is intertwined with the military. You know, if you want to, or also with the law enforcement, like to this day in England, if you're in, you know, whatever, you know, the British Constabulary and you want to go forward, you need to be a Freemason. So a lot of guys just joined the Mason just to get ahead. Not many of them took it seriously. But so Masonry was there at the very beginning. And it was part, in fact, it was part of the Revolutionary War effort because Masons used their organization as a secret way of community. So in a sense, it was kind of quasi-patriotic. But it's also dangerous because it worships a false god that is called the great architect of the universe. And ultimately, if you read Albert Pike, who was a Confederate war general, and the co-founder of the Ku Klux Klan, along with General Nathan Bedford Forrest, and he was the highest level Mason in 19th century America. And he wrote this enormous book called Morals and Dogma, which is like the Bible of the Scottish Rite. And this Pike guy said, Lucifer is God.
Yes.
The deceived people will tell you, he used the word Adonai is God, but Adonai is the dark God and Lucifer is the light bringing God. So that's at the very core of Freemasonry. That's why, you know, when you go to Masonic Lodge and you do this blood-curdling oath, and then this worshipful master, that's what he's called, the guy that is head of the lodge locally, you know, even though Yeshua is the only master. But he said, okay, my brother, in your current position, because I'm blindfolded, I'm kneeling at this altar, what do you most desire? And I'm prompted by this guy beside me to say light. And then they say, okay, give our brother light. They take off the blindfold, and I see these three burning candles and the Bible and the square encompasses. So, and then you get more light in the second degree. You get more, and of course, what's that light? That's the light of Lucifer, the dark light.
Let me interrupt because I think probably we only have about another minute before the break, and I want to make sure people know who I'm talking to. Dr. William Schnobelin, and he's talking about his experiences with the dark side and witchcraft and masonry, and he's going to be talking about how to overcome this darkness as well as the evil that is upon us in terms of this Halloween. I know that is something that you have a DVD about. You have a lot of different DVDs, but you have a DVD called Halloween Unmasking Hell Night, which can be purchased at withoneaccord.org. We're going to be back in just a little bit, and we'll spend much more time with Bill talking about how to save your children from the pit of hell on Halloween.
Empower your day by tuning in to the Power Hour live from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Central Time for dynamic discussions and electrifying energy.
Join us for dynamic discussions. Got a burning question or a hot take?
Call in at 888-429-5471 and be part of the conversation. Can't catch us
live?
No sweat.
No worries.
Replay the show anytime, anywhere by visiting thepowerhour.com. Want to stay ahead of the curve?
Want to
sign
stay
up
in
for
the
our
loop?
Daily newsletter
sign up
and get
for
exclusive
our daily
show
newsletter
archives
to get
and
show
guest
archives
info
and guest info straight to your inbox.
Prefer podcasts?
And if you're a podcast,
we've got you covered on all, major,
you covered
platforms
on all major platforms and devices.
So whether you're tuning in live,
so whether you're
or, catching
tuning
up
in live
commute,
or catching up on your commute,
always
the Power
reach.
Hour is always within reach.
Join
Don't
our community
miss out.
And make every
Join
hour
our
a
community
power
and make every hour a power
a
hour. Power your life with the best health, wellness, and readiness products from thepowermall.com. Each purchase you make doesn't just benefit you, it also supports independent news media. That's right, you're backing the good guys who bring you the truth. Feel good knowing that every dollar you spend helps small businesses grow. Imagine a community where your health is optimized and your mind is well informed. That's the future you're building with the Power Hour and the Power Mall. So, take the step today. Empower your wellness and support independent media. Shop smart, shop independent, shop thepowermall.com. Together, we make a difference.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself. Come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
If your wellness routine needs a boost, you're in for a treat. Meet vitamin B17. Did you know that vitamin B17, also known as amygdalin, is a natural compound found in plant-based sources like bitter apricot seeds? It's time to explore how this powerful nutrient can support your overall well-being. Our vitamin B17 capsules and bitter apricot seeds are made with the highest quality standards, ensuring each product is pure, potent, and packed with benefits. Imagine starting your day with a boost of natural goodness. Vitamin B17 is known for its potential health benefits, from supporting your immune system to promoting general wellness. And for those who prefer a convenient option, our extra potent B17 500 milligrams capsules are here to help you on your journey to better health. Why choose Richardson Nutritional Center? Because we believe in providing you with the very best. Our products are meticulously processed to maintain their natural integrity and efficacy. Your health and satisfaction are our top priority. So what are you waiting for? Embark on a natural journey to wellness today. Head over to thepowermall.com or give us a call at 877-817-9829 to place your order. Discover the health benefits of vitamin B17 and take a step towards a healthier, happier you with Richardson Nutritional Center. Act now and feel the difference.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Change only happens when we the people become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour.
Wow, you're listening to the Power Hour, and if you were here for the first half hour, I hope you were. If not, listen to we know what's posted. Dr. Bill Schnobelin, he talked about his Masonic days, his Church of Satan days, his witch time. Are you there? Are you still with us, Bill?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Well, what I want to do is we've got maybe 20 minutes left, and I want to kind of pivot because what you've been talking about really is these are all, you got to fear the devil, right? Basically, they were telling you, if you tell this secret, we're going to kill you 1,000 ways. You know, you have to fear the devil. And Christ was very clear. You don't fear man. You fear the creator, with a healthy, obedient, whatever. But you do not fear man. Oh. And the idea of this fright, because I know you're here to talk about, Halloween, what a horrible thing it is. And you certainly have had your experience. But before you talk about your DVD and All Hallows Eve, you are an amazing example of someone who has found the blood and the mercy of the Lamb. And yes. Give our audience just like a couple minutes of how you got free from all that evil.
Well, of course, originally I ended up, finding the chick comic books that some people have given me a few years ago as a tail end Mormon. After 5 years in the Mormon church, I prayed the prayer that was in the back of that, and I got gloriously saved. Then I lost my job because my boss was a Mormon. And once I left the Mormon church, I was like, scum. And so he let me go. And so I had this time on my hands, and I started really digging into the Bible. I think I read the Bible through 3 times in 1 year, really prayerfully studying it. Yes. I also went through some deliverance.
Yes.
Because, when you've been as deep into this stuff as I had, you had a lot of demons. Yes. And different people have different theology on this, but I believe that if you can be born again,
yes,
and if you did evil things before your salvation, you can still have some demonic residue from that. So I went through that, And then I got called into the ministry. And I went out and worked for 5 years with Ed Decker and Saints Alive and Jesus. And then in 1992, we started with One Accord Ministries. And, you know, it's been wonderful because every step of the way, Yeshua, you know, Jesus has shown himself to be powerful and to be able to, we literally, the first couple of years of with One Accord Ministries, we prayed for more than 500 people to be set free from demons.
Wow.
And, you know, we wrote the book, Blood on the Doorpost, about how to overcome the demonic realm, how to do spiritual warfare, and also the whole procedure that I learned from various masters of deliverance. You know, because when I first got into the ministry, I mean, Ed Decker sent me to these workshops, you know, people like Ed Murphy and Tom White and some of these real, you know, I knew Rebecca Brown personally. I ministered with her. You know, all of these different individuals. And we put all of that into Blood on the Doorpost. And then since that time, we've got a DVD that's called Dimensional Combat in the Armor of Light, which I think is an extraordinary DVD teaching on high-level spiritual warfare, how to defend yourself, like in the dream realm, because, you know, the devil will come at us in dreams, you know, things of that nature.
Yes.
We have another DVD that's called Resisting Unto Blood that talks about the different parts of the armor in a way. It's a sequel to the book, Blood on the Doorpost. And in that thing, you know, people talk about the full armor of God. That's great. But people don't realize that there's more than a dozen other parts of the armor that are not in Ephesians chapter 6.
Hmm.
And most people never get into that. They don't know about things like the large shield of favor or the battle axe of Elohim or the glittering spear or the, you know, there's all kinds of different parts of the armor that are contained mostly within the prophetic writings. But also, you know, Paul talks about in Romans about the armor of light. That's an entirely different thing from the full armor of Elohim. And we explain what that is. So we try to give people spiritual tools and spiritual tactics. We have a YouTube channel, which is unfortunately getting, we've got two warnings, you know, a warning and now we've got a strike, you know how that works. So, but we're trying to get information out on that. We're gradually moving our stuff over to Rumble because we're afraid we're going to end up, you know, getting, you know, have our channel taken down like a lot of faithful believers have had happen.
Yes.
So, in those videos on YouTube or Rumble, we've got a lot of teaching about how to do warfare against these, because, you know, the Almighty is giving us the tools that we need. Just, you know, the devil keeps, it's like there's like almost a spiritual arms race because the devil keeps bringing up more stuff, more tactics, more deception. You know, like this whole thing that we've been flooded with over the last 5 or 10 years about, you know, gender identity and the rise of the, you know, the homosexual movement, all this stuff is a spiritual attack.
Mostly absolutely.
On children, you know. And we need to know how to defend our families against this stuff.
Like yes.
This morning released a new video on Rumble. We had to do it on Rumble because YouTube would probably have stamped it down, called Is Everyday Halloween and How to Discern the Spirit of Confusion. Because that's what's behind almost all of this stuff. I mean, it used to be, you know, people understood, okay, a man was a man and a woman was a woman.
Yes.
And now they've been, you know, the last 10, 15 years, they've been trying to muddy the waters increasingly to the point, well, we all know it, you know, that they, even that lady that was going to go for the Supreme Court, you know, she wouldn't even define what a woman was. Double-mindedness and confusion.
There's an incredible book about that. It's called The Transgender Industrial Complex. And it's written by a Nebraskan named Scott Howard. And this idea of mixing gender isn't just 10 years. It's been going on around 100 or 150, and it is global. It is global.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things I thought about when you were talking about, you know, you were young in Iowa. I was young in Iowa as well. That's where I grew up. And Halloween was, you know, you just put on like a, you know, Tony the Tiger or whatever costume and you go out and get some candy. But, you know, I was thinking about it today before I started the broadcast and I thought, man, Halloween was also a prepping ground for being whatever you want to be. You want to be a cat? You want to be a man? You want to be a woman? You know, it was a transgender training ground as well as everything else. So talk about the evils of Halloween.
Well, yeah, the problem is it's a gateway that it's been established for thousands of years. It's of course the church in the West has tried to sort of sanctify it by calling it, you know, All Saints Day and All Souls Day. But for thousands of years before that, it was Samhain in the Celtic world, you know, Ireland, Britain, Northern Europe. And it was the day that the gates between the living and the dead opened. And it was believed that you could commune with your ancestors and that the dead would walk the earth and that they were dangerous. And it was like the Night of the Living Dead, you know, the original movie back with George Romero, where you had to appease them by putting out offerings. And that's where the whole idea of trick or treat originated, was the idea that these druidic type pagan priests of Ireland and Britain would go around on this night and they would demand, you know, some sort of tribute. And if they didn't get it, they would take your children. And now, they would sacrifice your children.
That was my question. Did they kill the children? I've heard that not only the children were killed, but they kind of used them like their, I don't know, their bodies as fire or something that put them inside pumpkins? What?
I've never heard that, but of course they had the Wicker Man, which is a real thing that on certain satanic holidays, pagan holidays, they built this huge thing that was like a couple stories high that looked like a man out of wicker. And they would put animals and human beings in it and set it on fire. And of course, nowadays the apologists would say, oh, well, they would put condemned criminals in it. And that may or may not be, we don't, you know, it's not like these people kept good records in the year 500 BC.
Yes.
But, you know, they were doing human sacrifice. And there's this idea in the occult that if you do something over and over and over again down through the centuries, it becomes what's called an egregore, like a thought form, which has a life of its own. Okay.
Yes.
That means that there's this certain dark spiritual energy on October 31st and a couple of days on either side of that date, because it's called an orb of influence. So if you aren't, we tell people like, okay, what's today? Today is the 25th. Tell people, start keeping an eye on your children. You know, be extra protective of them. You know, don't let them go anywhere alone. You know, keep an eye on them, even like two or three days before Halloween, because the devil demands human sacrifice on this night. The devil demands sexual sacrifice, the deflowering of young girls. All of this kind of stuff is going on because the devil has no power of his own.
Yes.
You know, Yeshua said in Matthew 28 that all power on heaven and earth is given to him.
Given to me. That's
so
right.
The only power the devil has is the power we give him, either by, you know, sinning, or by blood sacrifices of either animals or human beings. That's where the devil gets his power. That's why he loves abortion, because the thousands of babies that are being killed in abortion, whatever things, that's
millions.
A sacrifice to Satan. One of the people, the clinicians that are doing it, know that. A lot of them do know it. That's what makes it even more horrific.
Yes.
So we need to stand against that in prayer. We need to protect our children and our animals. Because they'll go after German shepherds, especially they'll go after cats, you know, pets, things like that, and kill them, because they know. And of course, they want to get a hold of virgin children, virgin teenagers, and sexually defile them and slay them. And then, yeah, cannibalism, blood drinking, the whole thing. So this is a very dark season, and we can feel it building up, just like you can kind of feel a storm coming in, you know?
Yes.
Like that on the spiritual realm. And we, on our website, we teach people, okay, here's how you put the full armor of God on. Here's how you pray. And we just put out our prayer that we recommend people do every night before they go to sleep. You know, we have all the, because a lot of people don't know how to pray. They understand you're supposed to pray, but they don't understand how to do it. And so we offer these things as aids. It's not like we tell people, oh, you have to do it this way or you're going to go to hell. No, they're just intended to be aids until you understand how to function as a spiritual combat officer in the kingdom of heaven.
You know, I found a sentence in that book, Fossilized Customs, Lou White. You may or may not be familiar with this book, he does say that it was the Druids that would choose children, certain children, to be burned in what was called a bone fire, and parents would tie yellow ribbons around oak trees, tie a yellow ribbon, right? In order to guard their children, to make them be spared, and the fat left over from the child was fashioned into a candle and placed into a pumpkin. Wow. So the Druids...
The only problem with that story, excuse me, there were no pumpkins in the old world.
Interesting.
I mean, the pumpkin is a New World plant.
Oh.
They
said hollowed out vegetable with a sun-shaped design.
They use gourds.
Gourds, okay. Gourds. You know, well, now, in early America, there was no Halloween. There was none of this pagan stuff going on, right?
That really started, I have to take, blame for this one. You know, it was literally illegal. And when the Irish, and I'm half Irish, started coming over from, Ireland because of the potato famine, they brought a lot of this stuff with them. And gradually more, and especially on the East Coast, you started to see thousands of Irish families. You know, they were Catholic, but they also had these weird old customs. And how they started popularizing Halloween. And what happened was the marketing system started seeing this, hey, we can make money off of this.
Yes.
So by the early 50s, 1950s, they were starting to sell Halloween candy, Halloween costumes, just about the time I was born. Lucky me.
Yes.
But
yes.
Yeah, you're right. For the first 100 more years of America, if you celebrated Halloween, you get slapped with a fine.
Yes. So now there are these, 20 feet tall animatronic ghosts and zombies that people buy, and I mean, I've seen more displays of than I ever have in my life, just in yards. Yeah. And hanging from trees and bones and devils, and it's awful, and people
things aren't cheap. I mean, I looked at one at Lowe's, you mentioned that story.
Yes.
and it was like $600 or $700.
Good heavens.
So, the economy is so bad and blah, blah, blah. Yes, it is. The economy is bad. But, these people are willing to spend money on evil foolishness.
Yes.
You've got to really wonder where their hearts are.
And didn't you say, are assemblies, churches still celebrating this demonic stuff?
Oh, yes. A lot of them are. I mean, some of them aren't. I think some of the Pentecostal type churches and, fundamental Baptist churches don't do it. They know better. But I think now they have this new thing just the last couple of years. It's called Trunk or Treat. And what they do is they on Halloween, they have this thing where the church has a parking lot and they do something supposedly benign. And I'm not saying it's not benign, but as an alternative to kids going out trick-or-treating. And my problem with that is that night is so dangerous for children.
Mm.
If I mean, I know what happened to me.
Yes.
And I know what happened to hundreds of other people, adults now, who when they were children had horrible things happen to them because they went out trick-or-treating.
Oh,
and or even just went out of the house on that night. And I tell parents, keep your kids inside. You know, if you want to, you know, I'm not a big fan of candy because I'm a naturopathic doctor. And I know sugar is like toxin, but
yes,
if you want to give them candy, fine. If you want to sit down and play some wholesome, you know, games or wholesome like videos on your television for them, to just make it fun, but pray and fast. I would recommend people fast and pray on Halloween and maybe a day or two before and after, however you do fasting. I mean, if you can't literally fast, do a Daniel fast. Or give up something that you like normally doing, because Yeshua said when you pray, fast.
Mm-hmm. And some of these don't come out, but by fasting and prayer. That's right.
Yes. So you know, you're right. I mean, I think among the more conservative, spirit-filled type churches, there's an awareness that this is evil. There's differing ways of how they think they need to deal with that fact. But it's, you know, at least it's there. But yeah, the mainline churches, you know, the Episcopalians, the Catholics, you know, Methodists, a lot of them are all in for Halloween.
I just find it shocking when you really discuss, when you've said this twice now, keep your children inside, keep your animals inside. So you're saying that there are actually demonic associated individuals. Of course, we know that unfortunately, this particular administration they're like the biggest child traffickers in the world. Okay, so you've got all that going on, and then you've got this extra night going on where they're really looking specifically for those beautiful, innocent young children, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's because the devil loves to defile innocence. That's one of his favorite things to do.
Mm.
And so when you look at a little child, they're innocent, you know,
yes,
beautiful little children, and he loves to just terrify them and sexually abuse them. Mm. And, you know, there it is, you know, and we need to do everything we can to protect them. And, of course, the schools, I mean, I would not put my child in a public school if I had a school-age child.
Of course
not. But the schools are all in for Halloween. And, you know, you even go to the darn grocery store. And, I mean, there's Halloween all over the place. And, you know, even there. And, of course, huge aisles full of candy. And, you know, when I was a witch, and I don't know if they still do this or not, but we used to, right, you know, like a week or so before Halloween, we'd go to the supermarket. And we would walk, as witches, we would walk up and down the aisles that had all the candy, and we would pray over the candy that the children that ate the candy would be open to the power of the goddess.
Oh, my goodness.
God.
Oh, my goodness.
So that any child, you know, this isn't talking about putting razor blades in a popcorn bowl. This is talking about putting demons in a Twix bar. And so, I mean, in general, we never bring a lick of food into this house without praying over it first.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know. And we just plead the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, over every time we come in with the groceries or whatever, you know, and just pray over it. But realize that if you're giving out candy or even buying candy for your kids, pray over it.
Yes.
It won't take the sugar out of it. It might remove the demons from it.
You said something earlier that I wanted you to repeat because it's a profound truth, and you kind of said it really quickly, and I want to make sure people understand it. You were talking about Satan wants to do these rituals. I mean, that's why they make us look. Well, they don't make us, but people look at certain things or certain designs or certain whatever, or certain, you know, rituals that become like a thought form. What was that called? You said that earlier?
Egregore.
An egregore?
Egregore. Oh. E-G, R-E-G-O-R-E. It's the Greek word.
Okay. And what
it means basically a thought form that's built up power over the centuries. And a different example of this would be a pagan god.
Yes.
Like if say, you know, Kali in India, you know, these people at some distant time, thousands of years ago, started worshiping this Kali thing. And over the centuries, there's a demon and then a strong man that inhabits that egregore and gives it a life of its own. So by now, if you've got, and there are still people that worship Kali over in India and probably here in America, that, you know, that they worship this, it's like a demonic strongman that is, it started as a humble thought form, but has been given power by century after century of, and of course, with Hinduism, you've got literally billions of adherents worshiping the darn thing, and it acquires a life of its own. And
well,
the same
you know,
thing is true of these holidays.
Yes, and when you say this, Bill, I learned, I don't know, in the last few years that actually the names of the days of the week are named after pagan gods.
Yes.
And so sure. Everybody that's saying the, you know, M day, whatever, they're saying the names, they're actually saying moon day. They're actually worshiping other gods by saying the names of the days of the week because the calendar is in the skies and the heavens and the stars. And, you know, Yahweh didn't, you know, make that calendar that man uses, billions of people, banks, everything uses that calendar. So I would say those are, how do you pronounce that word again? Egregore?
Egregore,
yeah. The names of the days of the week are egregores. Wow.
And, well, you know, I don't know how, that's not quite as the same thing. But, yeah, that's why, like, in Judaism, you know, whether Messianic or you know, Orthodox Judaism, they will say first day, second day, third day, fourth day, Erev Shabbat and Shabbat. They will the secular names for the days.
I think we have just a couple minutes left. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that people know how to find you. Dr. William Schnoblin, I call him Bill. And the website is called With One Accord, ACCORD.org. You're listening to The Power Hour. I do hear the music. Bill, thank you so much for being a guest on The Power Hour.
Anytime you want me back, I'd be happy to come back.
Thank you.
Get masonry a little off.
Yes.
Okay, shalom.
There has never been a better time to buy gold and silver. To buy gold and silver direct, call our partners at Cornerstone Asset Metals. You can reach them at 888-747-3309 and make sure to tell them The Power Hour sent you.
In a world full of uncertainties, one thing you can control is your preparedness. Heaven's Harvest is here to help you protect your family when it matters most. Imagine having peace of mind with every meal, knowing it's non-GMO and made right here in the USA. From emergency survival food that lasts up to 25 years to heirloom seeds that ensure your garden thrives, we've got you covered. Why wait for a crisis when you can be ready now? With Heaven's Harvest, you're not just buying supplies, you're investing in your family's future. Secure your peace of mind with Heaven's Harvest. Stay prepared, stay safe. Your family deserves it. Visit thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829 and take the first step towards ultimate preparedness today.
BBS Radio TV. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio TV. A place for answers.